Wungarali Majinu, Dame Borsha on ABC Radio Canberra, Wurundjeri.
A conversation about how we come together as a nation. And of course, that's been a very big discussion as a result of the Uluru Statement of the Heart, which has been described as a gift to the nation of how we come together. Only Pat Anderson said that that was something that she thought was really important, that this was a powerful way of having a conversation about all of us coming together from all the many different nations and backgrounds in Australia. And that's a conversation that's continued now more than 5 years later. And a big part of that, of course, has been younger Australians, particularly younger First Nations Australians, who have been leading a charge of a discussion about their perspectives on just how this should happen. Two of those are Alira Davis and Bridget Karma, who are co-chairs of the Uluru Youth Dialogue, and are both here. Yuma, good afternoon to you both.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Hi, Jen.
And Bridget, we've got you on the line. Good to have you along as well.
Thank you very much.
And both of you spoke at the 50-50 by 2030 Foundation inaugural annual symposium at the University of Canberra last week. And from what I'm told, there was a huge reaction. Alira, I want to start with you on this one. What was your take on how people were hearing the message that you were sharing? We'll get to what the actual message was in a moment.
Yeah, it was actually amazing. And I couldn't thank Bridget anymore as well, because I think... The main, I guess, the theme of the symposium was share the role, and that's exactly what Bridget and I do within this Uluru Youth Dialogue. We co-chair and we lead our young people in helping, you know, people to be aware of what this Uluru Statement's about and educate people in a way. So, yeah, it was very empowering and it was amazing women in the room, and I was, truly privileged to be on that panel. So,
Bridget, what about for you?
Yeah, it was great to see the response from the women that were present in the room and asking, you know, what can we do as women that do hold positions of power or some influence in our society? How do we help the cause to move towards a more just future for First Nations peoples in our own country? And how do we respond to the invitation from the Uluru Statement from the Heart?
What do you say when you're asked that question, Bridget, of what can others do?
Oh, it's always so touching every time you watch or hear or see someone read the statement for the first time or hear the statement spoken for the first time. And I think the statement and the words itself speaks for itself. People respond to that statement because they can see that it is a real call for justice in our country. And our response is walk with us, support us. The time for change is now, and the time for justice is now. And I think most Australians are really recognising that, you know, we do have unfinished business in our nation, and to get to a point where we can be a truly inclusive Australia, we need to do something about that, and the Uluru Statement provides a way forward.
Alira, there, you're nodding in furious agreement. Do you want to weigh in on that one as well?
Yeah, no, I definitely think this process is a self-determination process for our people. It's a process that gives us hope for the future. And if for anyone out there who hasn't read the Uluru Statement from the Heart, please do. And even when you see it in person, it's mind-blowing. Like, the energy and the aura around the statement is just spiritually, it soothes my soul, and I know as well as many other people. But I think even with our youth dialogue, we wanted our young people to have a purpose in this. And, you know, the two things that are mentioned in there is incarceration rate, in the Uluru Statement, sorry, is incarceration rates and our young people in out-of-home care. So we need to, you know, abide by that and stick to it and get our young people on in this and let them have an opportunity and a say in the movement forward. But also, you know, their future.
And just on that, if you haven't read the Uluru Statement or want to refresh on it, if you search Uluru Statement of the Heart on any search engine, you'll find it, but it's also online at a dedicated website, ulurustatement.org. And I just want to read out the passage that you just referred to there, and this is, quote, "Proportionally, we're the most incarcerated people on the planet. We are not an innately criminal people. Our children are alienated from their families at unprecedented rates. This cannot be because we have no love for them and our youth language in detention in obscene numbers. They should not be our hope for the future." And I agree with you, Lyra. I get a chill when I, particularly when I read that bit.
Mm. Yeah, it is very, it's also, it's empowering, but it's also, it's unfortunate as well. I mean, our people are very smart, very intelligent. We can do anything we want if we put our minds to it. Unfortunately, you know, colonization and our intergenerational trauma has put us in situations where we've deteriorated. And, you know, majority of our Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander people out there are under the age of 25. And, you know, this is why Bridget and I wanted to do this youth dialogue, is to get these people involved, to make sure that our people have a say and an opinion on what their future looks like. So, yeah, no, it was very, I don't know if Bridget has anything to add. She probably does, but yeah, so.
I'm keen to bring you in, Bridget, because the very next line, "These dimensions of our crisis tell plainly the structural nature of our problem. This is the torment of our powerlessness."
Yes, and that's exactly right. So the Uluru Statement from the Heart is about structural change. We don't want symbolism, and the delegates to the regional dialogues and the convention talked about this. You know, we don't want symbolism in the constitution. We want substantial structural reform that will change systems to give us a voice over the issues that affect us. And that's because, you know, we have the lived experience in our local communities. We have our community organisations who have expertise, knowledge about what works for us more in communities. You know, some organisations are over 40 years old. Like, that's a huge amount of wealth. Mm. So to be able to take that lived experience, that knowledge in local communities, and to have some kind of impact over the way that policies that are about our lives and that determine some of the aspects of our lives are implemented will make a huge difference in the system and to the structural nature of how the law and legal aspects in our systems work, particularly on the issues that affect us in our day-to-day lives.
And I just echoing Bridget as well, this movement is a grassroots movement. It's led by First Nations people. It was developed by First Nations people. It's our people saying this stuff, our elders saying this stuff. Unfortunately, some of, you know, the people who signed the Uluru Statement, God rest their soul, they have passed on now. And we need to, you know, ramp up this movement and make sure that people are aware of this and aware of our First Nations history, because that's what counts in Australia. Australians sometimes don't even know their history. We need to make sure that we know our First Nations history before doing it. And this is substantial change. This is the hope, as the Uluru Statement says, this is a hope for our future and for generations after that.
It's so true about the stories. If we don't know who we are, then how can we understand it? And as you pointed out right at the very beginning, as you both have, how can we walk together? And there's a great quote that Margot Neal, the Indigenous curator at the National Museum, says that Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander history didn't end in 1788 and the Australian story didn't start in 1788. They're strands of the same cable where we have to understand that. Bridget, I want to find out more about the Uluru Youth Dialogue. What is that, and how does that sit in the broader frame of the Uluru Statement?
Yeah, so in 2019, Alira and I were fortunate enough to be at some of the regional meetings that occurred after the dialogue process. So, you know, senior members of the communities across Australia continue to meet and continue to talk about how do we continue to fight for a constitutionally enshrined voice to have a say. And so Alira and I were there and we thought, you know, there's a voice of youth that's missing here and we need to create a platform. And so we were really grateful that senior leadership of the Uluru Dialogues said to us, yep, like, if you want to do this, we will support you and give you the platform for youth to have your voices in the people's movement. And so from that, we were planning for months, and we pulled together a summit which occurred in Cairns in 2019. And we brought together around 50 to 60 First Nations youth under the age of 30 from around the nation. And we really wanted that to be geographically representative of the many regions, as well as there being a gender balance and space for people who are from, you know, diverse backgrounds as well. So we made sure that that was reflective of how we wanted to run the summit, and we brought together those youth, and it was one of the most powerful experiences that I have ever been able to be a part of, because you really saw our future standing there in that room. We had youth who were so energized and passionate, and they just wanted to take up the fight that our elders have been fighting for decades now. They saw how the Uluru Statement was really a coming together of the decades worth of advocacy that had happened throughout our history. And really it was about giving youth the opportunity to have ownership and responsibility and to be able to drive the way and shape our futures as young people, because we see that the Uluru Statement talks about young people, as Alira has mentioned, and really the dialogues and the elders who attended those regional dialogues talked about the future and the future generations, and that means, you know, that's our future. If we don't do this now, if we don't fight hard and go to a referendum, then we'll be continuing to live the struggles that our old people fought so hard for us not to live. And so really we tried to carve out a space for youth to be able to do that, because we, as you know, as young people, we see systems that are so foreign to us. Alira and I were down in Canberra last week lobbying at Parliament, and that's the first time that we've been able to engage in that, because it's just something that's so foreign to us. But realising that that's the space that we need to be in to shape our futures. So being able to give our youth that space and the confidence to be able to shape our futures is really where it came from.
And, you know, that was amazing, Bridget. Yeah, it was definitely very, very powerful. I think also, you know, we wanted to explain them to the what the Uluru Statement is, and I guess the legal aspects of it, because I know people get confused within that. And if we do legislate a voice, it can be torn up and abolished, like ATSIC was back in the day. A lot of commissions that were, you know, developed, they can be torn up if it's legislated. So that's why we need an enshrined voice in the Constitution, because it's a permanent voice, and that means that, you know, it is in the big book of laws. But we need that permanent voice in the Constitution, and we wanted to explain that to the youth. So
yeah, and look, to play devil's advocate, one of the big question or challenges, of course, around constitutional reform in Australia is that we just don't like to change the Constitution, do we? I mean, although it is telling that the most overwhelmingly successful referendum was to count Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people as Australian citizens for the point of the census. But it's a big challenge, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And I think this is the most beautiful thing about the Uluru Statement from the heart, is that it was gifted to the Australian people. It is a gift to the Australian people to walk with us for a better future. And I think, you know, even Bridget and I have been on a lot of, we've gone to a lot of festivals and art fairs where we've promoted the Uluru Statement and made people aware of what the Uluru Statement is and educated them so that they get it. Because that's the only key thing that I think Australia needs to know, is just understanding what it means. You know, voice, treaty, truth, every single, its reforms, what it means. You know, we need the First Nations voice enshrined in the Constitution, and then we have treaties within the state and territories, and then we have the truth-telling overarching the voice and treaty. And I think that that's the main important thing, is to know that, you know, this is for the Australian people. It's for us and for our children and the generations after that, so that they can feel equal and fair in society and not walk in such a systematical racist, you know, system and structure that unfortunately holds our people, you know, in incarceration rates and health and mortality rates. And this is, I think, for me, I believe it's definitely the hope for the future and a substantial change for what Australia needs right now.
Yeah, Bridget, you want to jump in on that one?
Yeah, I mean, it's really, for me, it's just about giving us a fair go. Mm. I think, as I hear this from young people, that the Constitution doesn't reflect Australia as a nation, because it doesn't reflect the important status of First Nations peoples in our own country. Mm. And really, it's just about, you know, recognising the fact that we were here for over 60,000 years prior to colonisation, and being reflected in the Constitution and having a voice to be able to speak on the matters that affect us will start to heal that relationship. And the other thing is that I am feeling very, very excited. I don't want to preempt anything, but I am feeling very excited about what the next couple of years is going to hold, because the team at UNSW Indigenous Law Centre, you know, they've worked really hard crunching numbers, looking at the submissions to the Ken White co-design process, and you know, we're looking at between 80 and 90% of those submissions supporting a constitutionally enshrined voice. And, you know, the support of the Australian people is there. Those numbers are huge for us. Mm. And, you know, there's been other surveys done about, you know, what would it look like? Who would vote yes or who would vote no if we move to a referendum? And they're looking at about 80% of those people surveyed said that they would vote yes at a referendum or support a constitutionally enshrined voice. So for me, that does give me hope. And, you know, that's our Australians saying that. That's not just First Nations. That is the 97% that we do have to get on board to vote yes at the referendum. And I think we can definitely get there.
Mm. And in order to turn that from submissions on in one focused process, I guess, into a broader movement, if you will. Mm. That's, I guess, in part what you're both doing, isn't it?
Yes,
absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. And I think even with, you know, we're trying to get our young people to get out there and go to back to their communities, because even one of the days in at the summit. At our youth summit, we actually made, well, a lot of the young people put down action items that they can take back to their community. And, you know, we're going to the Laura Festival. We have a stall up there. There's so many opportunities around. We had a meeting with FECA as well, the ethnic groups, and we're just trying to, you know, put our fingers in every pie and really just bring Australia together to unite together for this cause, for this movement.
And I guess, Bridget, part of the challenge is this is something that the older people that have been campaigning for a very long time have said to me, that there is that burnout and you get worn down from the, you know, having, to borrow the term that Lyra just used, having to have your finger in every pie and be part of every conversation that's happening. Is that, are you a bit worried about that?
Oh, look, I think we have incredible leadership in our communities, in our senior leadership of the Uluru Dialogues, and the team. It's just, I look at people like Aunty Pat and I just think, you know, if she's still going, I have to go. I have to do this. And I definitely acknowledge the burnout and, you know, decades worth of advocacy and meetings and conversations. And it's time for people to listen. And I think people will do that, because they're seeing that nothing is changing. We still have the same outcomes that we've had, you know, 20 years ago playing out today. So people are acknowledging that we need a voice at the table. We can't have a voice to government. We've had that. You know, we've had that for decades now. But we need a voice to parliament, and we need that accountability there. So I take my strength from our leadership, you know, right on in community, right up to, you know, those who have positions of power who continue to advocate and fight hard. And I think young people have the energy and have the passion, and we're ready to take it up and we're ready to go. So I'm really looking forward to that.
I can certainly hear that from the both of you. Lyra, do you want to jump in on that one as well, about, I guess, the challenges of sustaining a really long, very focused but intimately, or very intimate process as well?
Sorry, I was just having a coughing attack then.
Jill, it always happens. Yeah. The minute you step in front of a microphone.
I'm like, oh, nearly dying here. No, but yeah, I agree with Bridget. I mean, and even, you know, making sure that we continue what our ancestors did and our elders have done. And, you know, even as I mentioned before, that continuing the people that have, you know, passed on and continuing their work. But, you know, it is hard. Obviously, there's going to be people that disagree with the statement. But it's all about educating yourself and being open-minded about situations. You know, if you bring a solution to the table, yes, awesome. But if you don't, then there's no point in actually, I mean, you can argue the problem, but what's it going to solve?
Part of it's the open mind and open heart thing, isn't it?
Yeah, and just educating. I mean, there's a lot of information out there. I'm sure, you know, Bridget and I are happy to be contacted by anyone, even any young people that want to get involved as well. We just need to keep, you know, being open-minded. And obviously, you know, people are going to disagree, but we just need to keep going and keep moving forward. We have a lot of support from the Australian people, as Bridget said, with statistics. Mm. So we just need to continue that movement and ramp it up.
And Bridget, I guess, what's your call to action on that front?
Look, I'd just like to echo what Aliria said. You know, understand what the Uluru Statement is and what it calls for. You know, there's heaps of resources out there. It's just about knowing what it is and what change it will make for our nation as a whole. So, it's just about knowing that, and if you support it, get behind it and do the work. We need the Australian people. We need to get it across the line at a referendum. So, just join us. Walk with us.
Yeah, definitely, Bridget. And also just a quick point as well, you know, watch the Uluru space, watch the, you know, the Instagram. We do Instagram lives, Twitter. We do everything on social media. There are people to contact if you have no idea what it means. If there's misinformation out there, just go to the Uluru Statement from the Heart website. But, you know, we're all on there. We're all accessible. So please feel free to reach out if you're unsure or, you know, want to get involved even.
Yeah, and as you both point out, plenty of information on that UluruStatement.org website and across all of those social media platforms. Bridget, thank you so very much for joining me down the line today. I do appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
And Aliria, great to have you here in the studio. Many thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much.